name is Allie, and welcome to Funny Fat Friend,
a podcast about this bodacious biracial babe trying to find herself in film. Here's an update. We have been protesting here in Louisville for 190 days for justice. You can find the link to the wish list of supplies we are in need of here for protesters, and if you can go to the Louisville Bail Fund, please do. And although the presidential election is over, there is still the very important runoff election happening in Georgia in January. The link to Fair Fight will be in the description as per usual, and you can sign up to volunteer or give. Harry Potter. We're still doing it. This is the fifth one. Out of eight, so we are officially closer to the end than we are to the beginning. Okay, so we're holding out hope. And we're like, because what, there are seven books? So this is the fifth one. So we're even closer if we're thinking about it, like the story-wise. Right? I'm really tired. They keep getting longer. Movies keep getting so much longer. Alright, this is the fifth one. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And for some reason, I thought this one was boring, and I was so fucking wrong. This one slaps. This one is, I think it's really interesting. A lot of people on the internet do not agree with me that it's as good as I thought it was, but whatever. I am me. And you are you, and if you disagree, talk to me. Talk to me about it. I love talking about it. Okay. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix came out 2007. It had a budget of $150 to $200 million. It's not official. It made $942 million at the box office. But it's been noted as a case of Hollywood accounting because Warner Brothers claimed that the film lost $167 million despite its total grosses. So with like Hollywood, I've talked about this before about how like when people talk about whether a movie is a flop or not, even if it made technically more than the reported budget, it could still have lost because you have to think about, like, marketing for the movie is, like, at least another half of what the budget was on top of it, right? And that sort of thing. But I don't know what the fuck happened to get the difference between a budget being, like, at max reported being $200 million. So even if they spent another $100 million on marketing, that would be $300 million. But it made $942 at the box office. That's still a $600 million discrepancy. And y'all, how? What happened? Where is it? Where's the money? I don't understand. I don't know. Maybe the world will never know. Maybe somebody has a podcast about this. Let me know. Does somebody have a podcast about where all the money goes when movies like this? Really, I'd probably just listen to a podcast just about this movie and how it lost $600 million somehow. Over $600 million. Because they reported a debt of $167 million. So that's $767 million. Holy shit. You could buy my hometown for that. Like, okay. All right, cool. Well, let's just talk about the plot of the movie. It has nothing to do with the money. It does, but let's just do it. Let's jump in. Okay. We open with smoke and darkness surprise. But they do switch it up quickly, and it's a yellow-ass playground we're looking at. And it looks like Nebraska. Is there a part of England that looks like Nebraska? I have like two friends in England. Have you all been anywhere that that looks like Nebraska. Well, have you been to Nebraska? I don't know if they have ever been to Nebraska. But it did. I drove through Nebraska. It's very boring. It's very flat. And it smelled like cow shit the whole time. And it's really hot. It was like the end of the summer. And it was just... We were also stuck in standstill traffic for like 3 hours while we were driving through Nebraska. It was a mess and a half. But it looked like this. There's this little playground. Alright, so there's Dudley, who is that piece of shit. Dudley Dursley. Is that really his name? Did I make it up? Did I mishear them? I thought about looking it up again to make sure his name was Dudley, but then I didn't, because this is how this podcast goes. Alright, if you're expecting more from me, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm setting these expectations up front. Alright? Don't expect more from me than I say that I give. Alright, cool. So Dudley, maybe, is looking like a baked potato ass. He's got this shiny silver t-shirt on. Full baked potato ass. He shows up with his gross, dirty-looking boys with him. And they start making fun of Harry for his night terrors. And Harry's just, like, sitting by himself on a swing set. There are so many questions. Like, what led to this moment? But we don't get any of those answered. Maybe they are in the book. Somebody let me know. Why was Harry sitting alone on a playground? Because he was listening to a lot of, like, Velvet Underground, probably, or something like that. He's angsty. Okay. They're making fun of him for his night terrors, which is sad. And Harry pulls his wand on them because he gets so mad. I just burped. I'm sorry. I'm probably not going to cut that out. I have no time. I don't have any time to edit this one at all. So, I apologize to my sensitive listeners that didn't want to hear that. Or maybe you can't hear it, and I am apologizing for nothing. Oh well. Okay, Dudley sucks. His friends are making fun of Harry for his night terrors. And also for being like, his parents suck. They're saying things from his dreams about like Cedric dying and stuff like that. It's really sad. And Harry pulls out his wand on them. And then everything turns that familiar ass melancholy blue. And Harry's like, I'm not doing anything. And then they're just fucking running. There's all of a sudden running. And then they go inside this like underground tunnel. I don't know. But then everything's yellow again. But it's like an eerie like laboratory yellow. Which might mean something to some people and means nothing to everyone else. But you feel me? Like a laboratory yellow. Yikes, this is a mess. And a Dementor shows up and starts choking Harry, like, which I did not know they did. I thought they'd just roll up on you and suck your face. But no, this one is choking. Like, there's no safe word. It is just choking Harry. And he, and then a second one shows up and starts sucking on Dudley's face. This one isn't holding him down. Dudley fell because he's dumb. And the Dementor showed up and started sucking on Dudley's face. Both of their faces are getting sucked, and it sounds gross. But Harry manages to get out his wand, and Expecto Patronum's them away. But Dudley is fucked up. Like, years of therapy. Minimum. Like, intensive weekly sessions, for sure. He is, like, even his skin is a different color. He is, like, he was already pale, and this dude is, like, lime green. He got so pale that he started turning green. You know? Yeah. So, he's really fucked up, and they're back at their house, and an owl delivers a howler-type letter. So, like, a letter that has a mouth and speaks. And it informs Harry that because he did magic in front of a muggle, he is expelled from Hogwarts. And he's sad. And then he's sad and he's locked in his room. But luckily, a group of ragtag wizarding rapscallions bust him out. And they are led by Mad-Eye Moody. And we find out Harry isn't fully expelled yet. There will be a hearing. And then they blast off into the sky. That was the best descriptor I could come up with. They all line up. One of them is Tonks. Because I know Tonks from the Harry Potter mobile app that I play. And one is Nymphomora Tonks. And Mad-Eye Moody is there, and I do not know the names of the other people there. The only black adult shows up. He's there. In some pretty clothes. But I don't know anybody else who's with them. But, so they blast off into the sky. They, like, line up in a line, and they blast off, and they're like, if anybody dies, you leave them, or something. I don't know, it was dramatic. But okay, they blast off, and they land outside of an apartment building that, after some taps of Moody's walking stick, splits open, revealing a dramatic hallway like the one in my apartment. If y'all have been in my apartment, we have an extremely dramatic hallway. This is very similar. I think we should go all in and make it a full replica of this hallway in this house. Comment below. There's no commenting below. On SoundCloud there is, but nobody ever comments below. Well, my mom does. Hey, Mom. Sometimes you comment below, and I appreciate it. I just think that's a funny phrase. Anyway. Let me know. Hit me up on social media if you think we should turn our hallway into this hallway from this apartment building. Okay. There's a dramatic hallway with a meeting room at the end of it that has Sirius, Lupin, and Mrs. Weasley in it. Which, if you ain't never seen a trio before, this is it. This is an iconic three-person piece. I'm in love with it. Mrs. Weasley sends Harry upstairs to get food while they're, like, having their little meeting, and Hermione and Ron are there. So the gang is back together. We have no mention of his birthday. Someone told me that, yeah, his birthday is at the end of the summer, and we haven't had a mention of his birthday since Azkaban? Wasn't Azkaban the last time? I don't remember, but that was a question I had, if it was always going to be his birthday. And so, yeah, Sean was like, yeah, it's always going to be his birthday, because it's like, your birthday is the same time every year, and they all start at the same time every year, and so it made sense. Thank you. but hey, I just, whatever. I guess it's not a priority. They had to cut a lot out of this one, I found out. This book was the longest book before the last book. Apparently tons are cut out of this one. I know that my friend Anna, shout out Anna if you're listening, hello queen, I love you, she said that this that in this book we get a lot of Tonks dealing with like mania and depression and that sort of thing, like really important mental health things. I'm pretty sure it's this one, Order of the Phoenix, that she deals with those sorts of things. It might be a later one that didn't make it into the movie, but, like, would have been really good to feature, you know, to, like, help with the stigma of mental illness. But that is the way that goes. That sucks. But now Hollywood knows that that shit makes money. Euphoria, what up? And other mediums showing the real human experience. But, yeah, okay. There's so much sidetrack. So much sidetrack. Anyway, Ron, Hermione, and Harry are back together again, as we expect them to be. That's so nice. Okay, so he goes upstairs, meets up with Ron and Hermione, and Hermione lets them know that they are at the headquarters for the Order of the Phoenix, which is a secret society that Dumbledore started. And George and Fred show up also and use a spell to eavesdrop on the adults in their meeting. And we can hear that Snape is also in the meeting, and they're using this weird little ear to eavesdrop, because fox spells are so literal, I guess. But Crookshanks, which is Hermione's bumbly-ass phenomenal cat, ruins the ear device, and so it stops them eavesdropping after they find out Snape is there, and that's pretty much it. Okay, so at dinner, the adults show Harry a copy of the Daily Prophet that has a headline that says, "The Boy Who Lied." And Cornelius Fudge, who's the head of the Ministry of Magic, is denying claims that Voldemort is back, which is so fucked. It is Donald Trump and coronavirus. Okay, and then... I think this is worse. Well, is this worse? Actually, I don't think this is worse. I think that was actually a comparable metaphor for how many people it has killed. Oh, it's dark. I'm sorry if that's rude. I apologize if that is offensive and in poor taste. We're all learning and growing. Okay, so yeah, he's denying claims that Voldemort is back. And I think Voldemort is building an army and searching for an item that he doesn't have. But they're not exactly sure what it is. And it's like, what? Like a weapon? And they're like, I don't know. Okay. Then Harry goes with Mr. Weasley, Arthur, to the Department of Mysteries for his hearing, which was moved up last minute. And besides the moved up time, Dumbledore still shows up to help. He's like, I didn't get a notification about this being moved, but luckily I showed up 3 hours early anyway. So it's like, nah, they were trying to fuck him up. So yeah, Dumbledore still shows up and he brings a witness who confirms that Dementors did show up and gave reason for Harry to use magic. And despite Cornelius trying to expel him, he is found innocent. And in the train station, and they're about to leave for Hogwarts, Sirius and Harry have a nice little moment where he gives them a photo of the original Order of the Phoenix with his parents in it, and that's nice. And then on the way back to Hogwarts, we meet Luna Lovegood, who is a gosh darn queen among the highest of queens. I think Luna Lovegood is my favorite character in all of the Harry Potter movies, because I have read the first book now, and I was going to try and read them and do the podcast at the same time, but that is fucking impossible. What was I thinking? I am very dumb sometimes. But yeah, so Luna Lovegood, she's the queenest of all queens. I love her so much. And we get to meet her while they're taking the little chariot, they're not chariots, little coaches to the Hogwarts grounds, I don't know, and they're like pulled by invisible forces that everybody thinks is just magic, but we see that it's like these like skeleton horses looking things, and Harry's like, ooh, what are those? And everybody else is like, fucking, there's nothing there, Harry, but Luna's like, it's okay, I see them too. And yeah, she's a space cadet, but, like, the sweetest, gorgeous, just powerhouse queen. Luna! Yeah, okay. Alright, so we're back at Hogwarts. And Harry learns that the Minister of Magic, Cornelius Fudge, has appointed a new Defense Against the Dark Arts professor, Dolores Umbridge. That bitch looks like a fucking couch. That's all I'll say about it right now. Okay. The students are scared of Harry, pretty much. They're, like, uncomfortable with his presence because the last time they saw him, he was holding a dead body, and then all of the news says he's a liar. And back in, like, the Gryffindor common room, Seamus puts him on blast in front of his housemates because his mom almost didn't let him come back to Hogwarts because of Harry. And Harry calls his mom dumb. But then Ron comes to his defense, and that's really nice. And they're best friends. Okay, then, in Defense Against the Dark Arts, Umbridge says that they won't be learning spells, but only getting ready for the Owls, which is their big, like, tests, like their exams, because that's what school is for. And Harry says that they need to know spells to defend themselves, and she says there's nothing for them to defend themselves against. And he says, fucking Voldemort, bitch. And she gives him detention for lying about Voldemort returning. Y'all, I thought this one was boring, and it is fucking so extra from the very beginning. Okay. In detention, Umbridge forces Harry to write a message with a magic quill that scars his hand with the message he is writing. And he writes, I must not tell lies. That's supposed to be like a writing line, so he had to repeat it over and over and over. I must not tell lies. And when Ron and Hermione notice Harry's scar, they get real mad. But Harry refuses to go to Dumbledore, who, has been aloof as fuck since the summer. Like, Harry can't even say what happened in the courtyard or nothing. Dumbledore's like, nah, icing him out. Fucking ghosted, dude. All right. Then Harry and Luna have a very lovely little moment in the woods. She teaches him about thestrals, which are the winged horse skeleton things, and they can only be seen by people who have known death. And that's sad. And she makes a very smart assessment about how Voldemort is likely the reason he is feeling alone, because he would be easier to defeat without others around him. And so he's creating all this chaos in this world to get Harry feeling alone and defeat him easier. Okay. Umbridge's control over the school increases. With new orders from the ministry, she becomes the High Inquisitor of Hogwarts. And she fires Professor Trelawney. And it's so sad. Fucking Emma Thompson gets fired. Unacceptable. And she's crying in the courtyard in front of all the students. But then Dumbledore shows up and doesn't allow her to fully banish her from the grounds. He's like, you can fucking fire her from being a teacher, but you can't fucking tell her she can't live here. Which doesn't make any sense. But I like it, so it's fine. Okay. After the fuckery of Umbridge. The fuckery of her not teaching them anything about actual defense against the dark arts, Ron and Hermione aid Harry in forming a secret group to train students in defensive spells, and they call themselves Dumbledore's Army. At the first meeting, a girl asks about how Cedric died, and it's sad, and Harry's like, if that's what you came for, get out. And then students ask why he should be teaching them, and he doesn't know. But then everybody starts going through his resume, essentially, of him defeating a bunch of Dementors, then the fact that he killed that big ass basilisk, and he defeated the Dark Lord as a baby. So it's like, I think he's qualified. But Harry's all like, all right, that does sound dope when you say it all like that, back to back, but, he didn't even really know what he was doing, and he always had help. And that is my favorite thing about Harry, is that he is so matter-of-fact, and he is honest and humble, and good for him. Okay, then he sets into the seriousness to the group, saying that in school, if you mess up, you can just try again tomorrow. But you don't have that chance when you're about to die or watch your friend die. R.I.P. Cedric. And then Hermione says that's why it's so important that they do this. And a little cute chubby-faced kid asks if Voldemort is really back, and Harry nods. And then we see everybody signing up. Every single person in that fucking room signs up to be part of Dumbledore's army. And then Hermione is hyped to break the rules and points out that Cho Chang was there and that she couldn't keep her eyes off of Harry, and it's dumb, and I do not care. I do not care about this plot line. Next. Okay. Then we get a training sequence. Hermione's the strongest of them all. Duh. And we see Filch trying to snoop around and figure out what they're up to, but he fucking sucks at it. And then there's a new proclamation put up, like on the wall, like fucking Umbridge starts making all these proclamations and hanging them on the wall. And there's a new one that gets hung up and it says, all students will submit to questioning about suspected illicit activities. What? And she starts questioning students. Cho Chang and Harry have a dumb romance moment of him showing her how to hold her wand, which is fucking dumb, boo. And Fred and George prank Filch with a box of chocolates that give him horrifying acne. And there's a fucking moment where he has, like, the horrifying acne and, like, one of the zits explodes and, like, it, like... I don't know. It must have been for, like, 3D or something. It's disgusting. It, like, shoots at you. It's unacceptable. I would have... Honestly, okay, I understand canceling the whole movie for that moment. I agree. If you don't like this movie because of that moment, I completely understand. And I think you're correct. Okay. So. Then he puts up another proclamation, and it's number 98, implying that there are 97 other proclamations before it. And it says, those wishing to join the Inquisitorial Squad for extra credit may sign up in the High Inquisitor's office. And, of course, we have bitch-ass Malfoy and his dumb boys joining the Snitch Squad. But we see that Dumbledore's army is improving greatly. While Luna is going to train, going to meet up with everybody in the little training room, Malfoy, Filch, and the boys spy on her, but the secret entrance disappears by the time they get to it, and they all fall in a broom closet like a buffoons. And at the end of the montage, we see Ginny absolutely blow everyone out of the water with her magical prowess, because she is also a queen. And Neville becomes so very average. And everybody's excited, you know, because... yeah. Averageness in white men is celebrated. But also, I fucking love Neville, so... I don't know. I'm part of the problem. It's more about him, like, he's an underdog. That's nice. He's an underdog. We'll give him that. Yay. Okay. Then Cho Chang and Harry have a moment together after she's interrogated hardcore by Umbridge. And she's looking at old pictures of Cedric, which is really sad. That they have, like, on the mirrors in the training room of Cedric. And I guess it's just, like, an homage of, like, this is who we do this for. And that's, like, nice. And she tells Harry that he's a really good teacher. And that's romance, I guess. And then some fucking magical mistletoe starts growing above them. And they kiss in front of Cedric's picture. And that's fucking weird, right? Right? Like, they kiss, like, a lot. And, okay. Grief comes in all forms, but... what? I don't know. Okay, I'm just gonna move on. Okay. Harry has this nightmare vision thing involving an attack on Arthur Weasley from the point of view of Arthur's attacker, which is presumably Voldemort. And Ron and McGonagall take Harry to see Dumbledore, and Snape shows up as well. And Dumbledore has him take Harry down a bunch of spiral stairs, and then explains to him that there is a connection between the Dark Lord's mind and Harry's mind. And it's not clear as to whether Voldemort is aware of their connection yet or not, but in the past, Voldemort has been able to send visions into others' minds to torture them. So he needs to learn how to defend himself against these kinds of attacks with occlumency. I don't know how to say it. Occlumency. It's made up. So that's how you say it. I decided. Okay, so Snape then gets all up in his brain, and we see swirly images of stuff we've seen and a bunch that we haven't, and I don't know what any of them mean, and I didn't want to, like, stop it and, like, dissect it, because there's still, like, fucking 2/3 of the movie left, so I gotta keep it pushing. Okay. Then it's Christmas! Yay! And they're back at the headquarters, the Order of the Phoenix headquarters. Arthur Weasley is there, all, like, beat up and recovering. And he gives a toast for Harry for saving his life, which is sweet. And then we meet Creature, which is an angry house elf that belongs to Sirius's family. And it's revealed that the Order of the Phoenix headquarters is his family home. And Sirius shows his family tree to Harry and says his parents had pure blood mania. And that he has a deranged cousin, Bellatrix Lestrange. And he adds, again, that Harry is extremely similar to his father, James. But Harry doesn't think so, and reveals that he worries about his connection with Voldemort, and that it's making him more like Voldemort. And Sirius says, he isn't a bad person. He's a good person. Harry, not Voldemort. Voldemort's bad. Harry's not a bad person. He's a good person. That bad things have happened to you. And that the world isn't split in two. There are light and dark parts to all of us. It only matters which side you choose to act on. That's very nice. Okay. Back to Hogwarts. And we get to see Hagrid! Yay! Hagrid went on a quest from Dumbledore to meet with the giants to try and get them on their side. But he wasn't the only one trying to persuade them. The Death Eaters had also come to them, and he hopes that the giants remember that Dumbledore was good to them. Then he, looks out into the distance and all ominously says, there's a storm coming, Harry. Better be ready when she does.
I love it.
I also love the personification of a storm as a woman that I think is just the best. And y'all ever heard Storm Warning by Hunter Hayes? This is so stupid. That's one of my favorite songs. I highly recommend listen to it. You're gonna wish I had a storm warning. I'm gonna wish I had a sign. It is so good. You ever wonder how every hurricane gets its name from a girl like this? That's what it reminded me of. Okay, we're gonna move on. I'm a big fan of hurricanes. Surprise. It does surprise people. I don't see how. Motherfucker's talented as hell. Okay. Alright, then we see lightning flashing. Every hurricane gets its name from a girl like this, alright? Then we see Bellatrix Lestrange. I haven't heard of a hurricane being named Bellatrix Lestrange yet, but I bet it's coming. The one that ends the world. That's what it's gonna be called. Okay. But we see Bellatrix Lestrange, who is played by Helena Bonham Carter, who is just an actual witch. I think. And that's a compliment, dude. I think witches are dope, so. Okay. But yeah, she's escaping from Azkaban. Plus, 9 other Death Eaters, we find out, also have escaped. And in a statement from Cornelius Fudge, he says that they suspect Sirius Black for orchestrating the breakout. Book! Can't nobody get no wins. Gosh. Alright. Then we're back in Dumbledore's army training. And Harry teaches everyone the Patronus charm. And they're all practicing, and they're finally discovered by Umbridge and the Snitch Squad. And Malfoy is holding Cho Chang as though she is the one who gave up their secret. Umbridge then shows Fudge the fact that they called themselves Dumbledore's Army, accusing Dumbledore of a plot to seize the ministry for himself with children? And that makes no sense. And Harry says the group was his idea, but Dumbledore lays claim to it, saying it was his idea and his alone. It wasn't called Harry's army. I mean, he's got him there, right? And then Fudge attempts to arrest Dumbledore for conspiracy, and Dumbledore says, you've hit a snag, as it seems you're under the impression that I will come quietly. But I have no intention of going to Azkaban. And then his phoenix flies over him, and he claps his hands onto it, and bursts into fucking flames, and disappears, and it was dope as hell. That shit was cool as fuck, and that's how I'm going to leave this world. Okay. Then, it's immediately undercut by the only black adult that we have seen in the fucking series. Says, "You may not like him, Minister, but you've got to admit, Dumbledore's got style." Why? They cut so much out of these fucking movies. So much out of the book. And that was the thing they needed to keep? Or is it in the book? I assume. It's so stupid. It was really stupid. And I'm mad about it. I don't want to stay mad, so we gotta keep pushing. Okay. Umbridge becomes the new headmistress. And Harry's relationship with Cho Chang falls apart, obviously, because he thinks that she gave him all up and she's a villain. Then all the students are taking their owls when there's a disturbance, and Fred and George come through on their brooms with a full fireworks show, like the kings they are. But while everyone is celebrating the rebellious boys, Harry has a vision of Voldemort torturing Sirius. So Harry, Ron, and Hermione rush to Umbridge's fireplace to alert the Order via the flu network, which we find out finally connects back when they use flu batter however many fucking movies ago. The flu network. And since hers is the only fireplace not being monitored, but Umbridge stops them before they can do so. And as Umbridge is torturing Harry, Hermione tricks her into entering the Forbidden Forest in search of Dumbledore's secret weapon. And, oh yeah, shit, I forgot to, yeah, mention my second scene with Hagrid, where he shows the kids his brother. He saved his brother from the giants, and was keeping him in the Forbidden Forest. So that's who she, Hermione and Harry lead her, Umbridge, to the hiding place of Hagrid's giant half-brother, Grop. but they're confronted by centaurs who kidnap Umbridge after she attacks and insults them because she's a bitch and centaurs don't play that shit. Okay, and then Harry, Hermione, Ron, Luna, Neville, and Ginny fly to the Ministry of Magic on Thestrals in an attempt to save Sirius. Shit starts kicking the fuck off at this moment, okay? Okay, so the six of them enter the Department of Ministries, where they uncover a bottled prophecy. Turns out, it is the object that Voldemort has been after. But they're ambushed by Death Eaters. One of them is Lucius Malfoy. Blech. And also Bellatrix Lestrange is there. Lucius reveals that Harry only saw a dream of Sirius being tortured. So, yeah. It confirms that Voldemort knows that their minds are connected. Damn it. And it's, yeah, it was just a trap. And Harry refuses to give Lucius the prophecy, and they fucking start fighting. And they just pop off, but of course, it sucks, because everyone loses. It sucks, except for Harry. So the Death Eaters take everyone except Harry as hostages, and they threaten to kill them unless he surrenders the prophecy, and of course, Harry does. He gives up the prophecy because he cares about his friends. But as soon as he does so, Sirius and Lupin fucking arrive with other members of the Order, fucking Tonks, and Mad-Eye Moody, and I guess their name is Kingsley Shacklebolt, and they attack the Death Eaters. Lucius drops the prophecy, destroying it. Fucking dumbass Butterfingers. He's gonna get fucking wrecked. And just as Sirius begins to overpower Lucius, fucking Bellatrix kills him. And that's like the end of Harry's family. And it's heartbreaking, dude. I cried. I started crying. And then to top it all the fuck off, Voldemort appears. And it's awful, and everything is awful, and I'm like, I guess this is the end, and the next fucking three movies are just, everybody's dead. But luckily, Dumbledore arrives, because of the Flu Network, yay. Moments before Voldemort is able to kill Harry. And then they full-on fucking duel. And they fucking pretty much destroy most of the goddamn ministry. It's messed up. They're just taking everything out. And after the two seem to be, like, evenly matched, Voldemort possesses Harry, trying to get Dumbledore to sacrifice Harry. But the love that Harry feels for his friends and Sirius makes it impossible for Voldemort to remain in his body. Bitch. And then the ministry officials arrive before Voldemort is able to disappear. Like, he, like, dissipates, I guess? I don't know, he, like, fades away. So Fudge is forced to admit that Voldemort has returned, and he resigns as minister in begging disgrace. Umbridge is removed from Hogwarts. Dumbledore is returned as headmaster. Dumbledore and Harry then have, like, a little moment together, and he explains that he had been distancing himself from Harry throughout the year, wanting to, like, lessen the risk of Voldemort using their connection. But I mean, that did not work. I don't understand that. That also doesn't make any sense. It didn't make sense. Whatever. But, Harry starts to come to terms with the prophecy, which you find out said, neither can live while the other survives. And it's about him and Voldemort. And then he runs into Luna, who's weird, but sweet to him. And says that the things we lose always have a way of coming back to us. Then everyone's packed up and leaving, and Harry says to the gang that they have something that Voldemort doesn't, which is something worth fighting for. And then it's over. And it slaps, dude. Order of the Phoenix high key slaps. It was very intriguing. It was a lot. It was overwhelming. It's overwhelming. There's too much stuff, honestly. I think there's too much stuff for one movie. But, you know, whatever. I had a good time. Comment below. Okay. Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 77%. So it's one of the lower... it actually has one of the lower scores. And on Letterboxd, it has a 3.6 out of 5 stars. So, a lot of people, I guess, because it's just so much stuff crammed into one. And, like, yeah, the things they decided to focus on are cherry-picked and kind of odd. I think they could have got rid of the entire Cho Chang. I guess they couldn't know because it needed to make sense. But we find out that she gave them up because, Umbridge made them, like, take, like, potions that made them tell the truth or whatever. So it really wasn't her fault. And we also, I forgot to mention that Snape, when he was training Harry, like, we got to see some of Snape's, like, memories. And it was why he hates Harry so much is that fucking his dad was mean to him and at Hogwarts. He was a big-ass bully. Fucking sucked. So that sucks. That's sad. That was good development for Snape's character. Do I relate to Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix? I guess... I do actually really relate to Luna Lovegood, which is why I love her so much. And of just being not really so much personality-wise. We're definitely not very similar with our personalities, but I think the chaos, definitely. The weirdness, definitely. And just, like, yeah, dealing with loss and finding ways to... build on that complex feeling, I guess, in ways that you can use. And are useful to you and healthy and stuff like that. Like, that took a long time with lots of therapy to figure out how to do, but, like, I guess I identify with that aspect of Luna. She had it figured out way before I did. 27-year-old Allie identifies with fucking 12-year-old Luna Lovegood. But otherwise, no. Yeah, the only fucking... There's still just two characters of color in this one, and one of them is Seamus's friend, who's been in all of them, and he said nothing of consequence, and then the other was that guy in the Order of the Phoenix who said that Dumbledore had style, so I guess I identify with the drama of Dumbledore. For sure. Yeah, I'm a dramatic ass bitch. I'm too much. I would love to exit rooms in such a dramatic fashion. Damn, I want every exit to be just the most. Goals. Okay, yeah, so, yeah. That was Order of the Phoenix. Next is... I don't know! Oh, it's Half-Blood Prince, right? Right? Yeah, that was number 5. So number 6 is Half-Blood Prince. And then 7 and 8 are the Deathly Hallows. Okay. So the Half-Blood Prince. I do not remember this one at all. I don't know what happens in it. Is it one of the boring ones? Maybe. I know that one of the fucking Deathly Hallows is boring, I'm pretty sure. I think part 1 is boring and then 2 sad. So just the worst. Tough. Fuck. But we're doing it. We're almost done with 2020, y'all. We're gonna close this out. My last episode, ideally, will come out on the last day of 2020. And it'll all be over. And then we'll start on the next bullshit year. So, yeah. Thanks for stopping by. I've been your friendly neighborhood fat friend, Allie, and I would, burst into flames. I think I've already used something like that, didn't I, for Chamber of Secrets, maybe? I think I did for Chamber of Secrets. I said something about bursting into flames like a phoenix and being reborn. So let's top of the dome. I would steal your shoes and put them weird places, like the little people Luna talks about that I didn't talk about at all. But I would. I'd help you find your shoes anytime. That's how much I love you, and that's real shit. I would help you find your shoes. So. All right. I love you all so very much. I'll talk at you next time. All right. Bye.